Baby, it is cold outside. Welcome to today's episode of World News Brief on the CGMRadio.com network. I'm your host, Winston Holland. Delighted and excited and thrilled, as always, to be with you today as roughly 4.1 million homes in my neck of the woods in Texas, I am specifically in the Houston area, are without power. I am one of the very fortunate ones who still have power, although that could change. It could be quite possible that in the middle of the show, I'm no longer able to record because the power goes down. So we will just have to wait and see what exactly happens. Hopefully I can get through this. And the reason being is that they are doing these rolling blackouts in order to conserve energy. We actually are not ready. We're not built. We do not have the infrastructure to handle this level of cold that we're seeing. I know that in my city specifically, from according to AccuWeather.com historical data, we beat the low for today's the 16th. Yesterday, February 15th, we beat the all-time low by 17 degrees. Yesterday, we hit a low of 8 degrees, and before that, the low on February 15th had been 25 degrees. That is unbelievable. Now, that obviously is not complete and total proof that the climate change stuff is garbage. However, it certainly does not lend any credibility to the idea that the planet is going to melt in 12 years, but we have a lot to get to. I want to point you first to the Bob Siegel Show. Show dropped yesterday. Go to cgmradio.com. Listen to that. Myself and Mike Friedenberg co-hosted that show for Bob. We guest hosted that show. And really, if you want to know, we talked a lot about COVID. We spent two-thirds of the show talking about COVID. Mike Friedenberg is like an encyclopedia of COVID information. I highly recommend you checking that out. Just go to cgmradio.com or just search for the Bob Siegel Show in your favorite podcasting app and make sure to mention that. I also talked about what is going on in Scotland with the attempt to make certain things said even in your own home illegal. That they literally, and it looks like it's going to pass. It was dropped in England and Wales. But this hate crime legislation banning certain things even said in your own home, they're actually looking to do in Scotland. And of course, it's a marriage of the Islamists and the atheists who love to come together and, of course, persecute Christians, Jews, and all of that. It's unbelievable what they're saying, how they're going to monitor holy books and all this. We might jump into that a little bit on this show. We have a ton to get to, but for a fuller explanation, make sure to check out the show yesterday. That was in the last segment of that show. All the articles mentioned today at cgm.news. Contact me, world@cgmradio.com, with pretty much anything. Parler's back up, if you weren't aware. So we're on Parler and Gab at CGM Radio News. We're also still on Facebook and Twitter. I have not deleted those accounts. They are still there. Maybe one day I'll revive them. I don't know. The problem is, if I'm going to invest time and money and resources into building up social media platforms, it's not going to be, I'm not throwing a dime at Facebook and Twitter. So who knows? They're just there. They're dormant. You can always look at them if you would like, but I'm not going to spend the time and resources of the CGM Radio Network to build up these social media channels when there is no future with those social media channels. I don't have a problem with social media channels. We've known for a long time that Facebook and Twitter, the big tech giants, of course, are hardcore leftists. I don't have a problem with someone having different political views than me running social media networks, so long as they're committed to free and open speech. But as the Democrat Party, of course, has become less and less liberal and more leftist, and there's a big difference between those two, we of course have seen more and more censorship and the them applauding knocking off Parler. Of course, the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story just a few weeks before the election, and then being willing to open it back up after the election. It just shows how utterly and disgustingly biased these social media platforms are. And I just don't want to give them a dime. And the only way you're going to get a readership, a big readership on those platforms, is if you put money into it. I don't want to give them any money. I'd rather do that to Parler and Gab. So that's a long explanation, but that's where we are. Also, I wanted to mention something. A few weeks ago, I had mentioned, kind of told everybody to boycott Amazon. And I would still encourage you to at least buy as little as possible off of Amazon. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee I'm never going to buy something on Amazon again. Kind of what I do when it comes to boycotts, and really it's so I can be consistent, because it's very difficult to completely boycott in all circumstances every show. I mean, what they've been doing to Mike Lindell is a great example. Something like over 20 big box stores have 20 businesses total, including many, many big box stores, have cut off receiving My Pillows from Mike Lindell to sell them, have cut off that supply chain. They are no longer selling anything from Mike Lindell, because he has courageously and bravely, and millions of dollars of his own money, challenging the election. It's incredible. And so, am I never going to stop it? I mean, Kroger and HEB have both stopped selling My Pillows. Those are like the only two grocery stores in my area. Oh, wait, hold on. There's Whole Foods. Oh. Owned by Amazon. There are a few. There's Trader Joe's, they don't even sell My Pillows, but who knows? If they did sell My Pillows, then they probably would have stopped selling them also. I don't know. However, I will say this about Trader Joe's. Back during the height of the BLM insanity, this kid wrote this essay saying it was racist for Trader Joe's to basically have culturally associated names with certain of their products. So Mexican food products, they called it Trader Jose's, and Italian food products, there was Trader, Giappetto's or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. And Trader Joe's just said, nah, that's not racist. we're gonna keep our branding how it is. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know what? And in fact, it's kind of cool. And in fact, you know what we're actually doing? We're actually celebrating other cultures around the world. This is insane. It's kind of like the idea it's racist to have Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's. So let's get the black faces out of the grocery stores, and we'll keep all the white faces and get rid of the black faces, and that's not racist in today's world of racial insanity. So kind of what I do when it comes to boycotts is I basically do what I call a soft boycott, where I buy from those places as little as possible, recognizing in an emergency or in a pinch, I may buy from them. I may buy from Amazon again at some point in the future, or if there's one thing that I really need to get, it's only on Amazon, I'll do that. But I think as much as we can. The thing about Amazon is that it's so big. It's so unbelievably enormous. It's so powerful. And look what it can do. Look what it can do to Parler, essentially without impunity. Now, Parler is suing and all of that, as it should. But okay, let's say Parler sues Amazon, and Amazon has to shell out a couple billion dollars. Jeff Bezos makes that in like 2 weeks. That's nothing. That's nothing to them. And it accomplished their purpose, to silence opposition. They would have done it to Gab if they could have, to silence opposition. And let's not get this ludicrous idea that this has to do with quelling violence, when they did nothing to stop the Antifa and BLM social media posts, nothing to take down the posts of Ayatollah Khamenei calling for the destruction of Israel. I mean, I'm sorry. If we can't talk about election integrity and we can't have free and open speech about the integrity of our elections, then we don't have anything. And if you're going to make this very, very low bar of any political speech that could result in violence, then you need to get rid of all political speech. I mean, there are consequences to free speech on both sides. And so we're going to get rid of basically all speech, because any political speech can and has resulted in violence. And what is social media itself but ultimately just stirring up hatred and bitterness? And it's ludicrous. So we know what this is. But I think if we can buy as little from Amazon, I think that's extremely helpful, because Amazon just needs to become smaller. They're not going to go away. I mean, God could do it. I mean, God could do it in a heartbeat. God has taken down, I think, some very large companies before in the past. We've seen companies we never thought would fall. But anyway, I just want to mention that, because I really personally do have a bit more of a nuanced view on boycotts and stuff than probably what I mentioned a few shows ago. So I wanted to mention that. But we have a lot to get to. Let's do some America first, shall we? I found this very, very interesting from justthenews.com. Smoking gun. Comey told Clapper FBI unable to sufficiently corroborate Steele, then signed the FISA. Oh, and I wanted to mention, stay tuned to the end. If there's an individual I'm growing to love more the more I read about him, it's Frederick Douglass. And there's been a debate. What does Frederick Douglass think about the Constitution? Was Frederick Douglass, the great abolitionist, the legendary abolitionist who had a personal relationship with Abraham Lincoln, how did he feel about the Constitution? We're gonna end off with that, and we're going to obliterate, with Frederick Douglass's own words, the lies that are said about him, about his view of the Constitution. I was surprised to the extent at which Frederick Douglass felt about the Constitution. Very shocked, so you'll want to stick around for that. All right, smoking gun. Comey told Clapper FBI unable to sufficiently corroborate Steele dossier, then signed FISA. Here we go. Gotta love Just the News and the reporting of John Solomon. Those guys that really do incredible work. The very day in January 2017 that then FBI Director James Comey signed a FISA surveillance warrant application declaring content from Christopher Steele's dossier had been verified, he wrote President Obama's outgoing intelligence community chief with a very different assessment of the British spy's intelligence on Russia collusion. A newly released memo shows, quote, "We are not able to sufficiently corroborate the reporting," Comey wrote in a January 12, 2017 email to then Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. That was declassified, made public. The memo recounts an internal debate inside the U.S. intelligence community during one of the most delicate moments in the FBI's then six-month-old Crossfire Hurricane probe. CIA officials had already informed Comey's FBI that the target of the FISA warrant, Carter Page, wasn't a Russian spy, but rather an asset helping U.S. intelligence. The Bureau had received warnings about Steele and the reliability of his source network, including that it might have been compromised by Russian disinformation. Agents had also just recommended on January 4, 2017, shutting down the probe's inquiry into incoming NSA National Security Advisor Michael Flynn for lack of evidence. The FBI, remember this? The FBI had been warned the previous summer that Hillary Clinton's campaign may have planted the false Russia collusion story as a way to vilify Trump and distract from her email scandal. And agents were about to interview Steele's primary subsource, who would discount much of the information in the dossier attributed to him as bar talk, an unconfirmed rumor worthy of official intelligence. And the larger intelligence community had decided it did not want to vouch for the Steele dossier in its official intelligence community assessment about Russian meddling and the U.S. election, 2016. It was in that environment, in the final days of the Obama administration, that Clapper had written Comey early on January 12, 2017, to inform the FBI that Clapper had decided to release a public statement declaring that the Steele dossier was only mentioned in an appendix to the Intel community's report because the, quote, IC has not made any judgment that the information in the document is reliable. Comey tried to push back, suggesting Steele was deemed reliable and that his network included sources that might be in a position to know things. And, you know, Steele had already been terminated by the FBI, and his key source had already disavowed the information attributed to him in the dossier. Quote, I just had a chance to review the proposed talking points on this for today, Comey wrote Clapper. Perhaps it is a nit, but I worry that it may not be best to say, quote, the IC has not made any judgment that the information in the document is reliable. I say that because we have concluded that the source is reliable and has a track record with us of reporting reliable information. We have some visibility into his source network. And he goes on. But then Comey added the line that undercut his argument. That said, we are not able to sufficiently corroborate the reporting to include it in the body of the report. So this is a pretty long report. You can read it. It's up at cgm.news. But here's the thing. Here's the gist of it. Here is the crux that we need to remember. The fact that Comey was telling the head of intelligence that Steele's information was not sufficiently corroborated while telling the court Steele's information in the FISA application was verified is the big problem. You have this grave contradiction. So Comey tells Clapper in an email that the information was not sufficiently corroborated while at the same time telling the FISA court that it was. Now you understand, we understand why many of us had big problems with James Comey. We knew what this guy was, who he was, that this guy was not on the up and up as he goes around and proclaims himself to be. And this is, you know, smoking gun evidence. It's clear. It's irrefutable evidence that he lied to the FISA court. Look, if you can't corroborate the evidence, then you certainly don't go before a court of law and say, we have grounds for getting a surveillance warrant to spy on an American citizen, Carter Page. Now, let's listen in on John Solomon as he summarizes this for just a sec.
For months now, we've wondered exactly when did the FBI know that the Carter Page allegations in the Christopher Steele dossier, the allegations that Carter Page was colluding with Russia to hijack the Trump campaign and its election in 2016, when did they know they were false? Well, now we know. Newly declassified documents obtained by Just the News shows that the FBI had intercepted a conversation. Actually, it was one of their human sources, Stefan Halper, wearing a wire, in which Carter Page was asked about the four different allegations in the Steele dossier. He didn't know he was talking to an FBI informant. And in all four, he knocked down the allegations. He said he didn't know the two Russians he was accused of meeting with. He said he had no role in the platform for the Republican convention. He knocked down two other very important allegations that Steele made, which means before the FBI went to the FISA court, they already knew the Carter Page allegations were bunk. The only problem is they never told the judges.
And there you go. CBS declares you'll need a COVID vaccination passport to travel by 2021, summer 2021. Wow, congratulations, America. You are entering a brave new dystopian future. This is from the National File. CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg almost appeared gleeful when he predicted two things. That travel, both domestic and international, would most likely return this summer. See, we'll be able to return to normal thanks to the Biden regime. Biden is going to bring us back. We're going to build back better by Biden, baby. Build back better by Biden, baby. That needs to be his new campaign slogan. Say that with me 15 times really quickly. And thankfully, that there would be a prerequisite to being able to travel. Greenberg stated bluntly that in order to travel, you'll most likely need proof that you've been vaccinated for COVID. It's easy. Just Just get the vaccine, and then you can travel. Just submit. Just obey. Just do what we say. Just like with Gina Carano. I love that Babylon Bee article. Disney looking for strong, independent, fierce women that are submissive and docile and do whatever we say. It's truly amazing. They love those strong, independent, just, you know, not connected to the male patriarchy. But of course, if they go outside of the male patriarchy of Disney and say things that they don't like, adios. Anyway, we're not going to cover that. That's been covered to death. But this kind of stuff, this is the kind of stuff that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, must decide if we're going to allow it to happen or not. This truly is the stuff of dystopia. Show me your papers. Show me your papers. Where are your papers? Greenberg stated bluntly that in order to travel, you'll most likely need proof that you've been vaccinated for COVID. Vaccination passports, he said, will be the new standard in travel. It will be required, Greenberg said. The real question is what technology will be available to create a universally acceptable and universally readable document that can't be forged. This is just so great. I can't believe it. We're all going to be forced. If you want to travel, if you want to buy or sell, let's get this COVID vaccine in your right hand or forehead and no problem. No problem. Just submit. Look, it's easy, guys. All this resistance and, you know, independent thought and, you know, we're America. And, you know, of course, like what Fauci said, the problem with America is that we're just so darn independent. We think for ourselves. We actually want freedom. Golly, such antiquated ideas. If progressivism means we do whatever Fauci says. I mean, even if Fauci says contradictory stuff, we just still do whatever he says. Even if he admits that he lied to us, or at least says that he lied to us about masks. Maybe he's lying that he was lying to us about masks when he said not to wear a mask, and then he says to wear a mask, and now we need 2, 3, I don't know, we need 85 masks. We wear 85 masks over our mouths, then we will be safe. I mean, this is exciting stuff. Look, we are entering the brave new world of everywhere we go. There's no privacy. Oh, wait, privacy? Did you say there's no privacy? There's no privacy in America. There's no crying in baseball. There's no privacy in America. Oh, wait, what is, no, what is this? The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, HIPAA, that created a national standard for protecting sensitive patient information. Included in the protected health information are not only your name, social security number, addresses, phone numbers, test results, and diagnoses, but also personal and behavioral attributes that can help anyone, including travel industry companies, single out an individual. Additionally, the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution's Bill of Rights. No, don't mention that. Don't mention that. You see, we need progress. We need an enlightenment. We have been enlightened. We have gone into the 21st century and understanding that the U.S. Bill of Rights, I mean, look, those guys were okay. I mean, they, of course, all owned slaves. They were all white supremacist slave owners, of course. We're so knowledgeable of history. We say things like America invented slavery. Good old Tim Kaine. You got to love Tim Kaine. We say things like America invented slavery, but right to privacy? Come on, man. Come on. COVID, man. What is Fourth Amendment? Now, wait a minute. Let's see here. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Well, you see, it's not papers. It would be electronic. It would be on your phone. It's not paper. You see, the founders were so antiquated, they couldn't even predict TV, much less iPhone. So, look, it says paper. It doesn't say electronics. Doesn't say electronics. See, it's fine. It's totally constitutional. Guys, we got to reject this. I know I've been kind of goofing around with it, but we have to absolutely and categorically reject this. Look, I know all the propaganda and everything that's coming from the media, conservative, leftist, whatever, are going to say that generally this vaccine is safe. I'm not against vaccinations, but remember, this thing was pushed through unbelievably fast. I mean, warp speed, light speed. And look, just because you might like Trump and Trump was in charge of this, Trump just went off of what the doctors and the people that were in charge of all of this told him. That doesn't mean it's safe. We have no long-term studies whatsoever proving that this vaccine is safe. And there are even some major reports that people have died from this. So be careful. Be careful out there. Do your research. Do your research. Look at both sides. Do your research before deciding to get this vaccine, before deciding if it's safe. And just because there's not an issue with the first, does it mean there's not an issue with the second shot or maybe even longer after that? Just be careful. It's not my job, and I'm not interested in telling anybody what to do with that vaccine. All I'm saying is it would be, given the effects that the vaccine have had on some people, it would be worth, what's your life worth? Is your life worth a few hours of research into looking into this and then making the decision for yourself? I believe in vaccine freedom. Nobody should be forced to be vaccinated. If we can't stand for that as a country, that basic medical freedom, I mean, what can we stand for? Speaking of, this is from the National Pulse, WHO COVID investigator is Chinese CDC advisor who accepted CCP research grants. Well, isn't that something? So if the WHO and is connected to communist China, how objective and funded and partnered with, how objective do you think that they are going to be in any kind of determination of the origin of this virus? Marion Koopmans, a member of the recent World Health Organization mission to discover the origins of COVID-19 in China, has served as an advisor to the Chinese Communist Party's Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and authored studied funded by Chinese government-backed grants, the National Pulse can reveal. You can read more about that at cgm.news, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention. And not only that, but there is actually a new head of the World Trade Organization. Nigerian economist Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, perhaps how you say her name, who has the backing of China. And of course, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is just cheering this resoundingly. Okonjo, who was opposed by the Trump administration for the top WTO spot, this is Breitbart, was supported by the Biden administration and received praise on Monday from China's Commerce Ministry, which said they have full confidence in her appointment. The thing about the Trump administration that was so important, probably might be the most important thing that the Trump administration was engaged in, was standing up to China. China is a totalitarian nightmare. China is a human rights abusing, slave labor promoting and using to the core, organ harvesting human rights disaster. The persecution of religious minorities, no freedom of speech whatsoever. It's human. Your human right is simply a right to do whatever Xi Jinping wants you to do. It is not the People's Republic of China. Any country that has people or republic or Democratic in it seems like it has to do that more as a marketing scheme in order to get you to believe it. Because if you actually look into the rights that people in those countries have, it doesn't necessarily add up to their name. So we have to, and as China-friendly, China-promoting people head things like the World Health Organization or the World Trade Organization, we need to act. Those liberal Western nations need to step up and act in their interests as a mitigating force to China's rapid expansionism. None of us want to become a servile serf state to granddaddy, to mother universe, China. But that is what China ultimately wants. They've admitted from their own mouths, they've been paying off people from Wall Street and working on Americans for a long time because we love money and we can be bought off easily. That's what they've been doing, even sending their spies over to sleep with our representatives. If I can just mention Trump's impeachment for just a second. Part of me wonders what goes through these people's heads when they put up someone like Eric Swalwell, who is literally a traitor to the United States, who slept with a Chinese spy named Feng Feng. I'm not sure exactly how. I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it in China. But you can't make this stuff up. If you put this in a novel, you tried to get it published, they would say this is too ludicrous. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction. But you put this guy up to argue that Trump was a traitor, to argue that he led an insurrection against the United States when he himself was sleeping with a Chinese spy for years, and undoubtedly, hopefully unwittingly, I hope, best case scenario, unwittingly, part of me wonders if he knew exactly what was going on, and giving information to her that she then takes to our greatest political enemies. You have to wonder a bit the psychology of what is going on there. Do they do this stuff on purpose? Is the blatant and rabid hypocrisy on purpose as part of like a psyop against us to drive us nuts? I do not know. But thank God the impeachment stuff is over. Will they move to censure Trump? I did not see Nancy Pelosi a couple days ago said she came out. She's not going to worry about censuring the president because she said it would be just a slap on the hand. The question still remains, will they try to invoke the 14th Amendment against the president? As we mentioned on last week's show, go and check that show out. We kind of go into the 14th Amendment, Section 3 and Section 5, how they might be able to use that in order to get rid of the president. So I don't know. We'll just have to see. Keep praying for President Trump. Of course, look, also pray for the Biden regime. Pray for them as well. I mean, the scripture says in 1 Timothy 2, 1-2, to pray for kings and all who are in authority. I believe the Democrat Party is more akin to a king than elected representatives. Maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you don't think the election was stolen. I have grave, grave concerns about the election and election integrity. And we'll be talking about that more as time goes on. But those, if you live in one of those six swing states, please call your representatives and make sure that they are invested. Or if you're in any other state where there's concerns about election integrity, please call and email. Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes out of your day. Call and email your representatives. What are you doing to investigate? What are you doing to get these Dominion voting machines out of here? What are you doing to ensure election integrity? Are you going to get rid of these, essentially these bureaucratic changes? When elections, according to Article 2 of the Constitution, can only be changed through the state legislatures, we're going to just let the governor and secretary of state just, you know, let these bureaucrats just essentially by executive fiat change election laws? That's insane. There's not a COVID clause in Article 2. I'm sorry. If masks and social distancing work, then that's what people could have done at polling locations. Okay. Report. U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Construction plans approved. Very interesting because the Biden administration had talked about or the Biden campaign had talked about potentially going against that. But it seems that not so much. This is from Creative Destruction Media. The construction plans for the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem's complexes have been approved, Army Radio reported. One of the approved plans is an expansion of the current location on the slopes of the Arnona neighborhood into a 5-floor building, and the other is the construction of a 10-floor building as part of a larger compound in northern Arnona, or Talpiot, on the corners of Hebron Road. You know, I don't know, and this might be kind of Greek to you guys, or I should say Hebrew to you guys if you're not familiar, as I am not, with, you know, the geography of the of Jerusalem. The city envisions the future U.S. embassy as an, quote, anchor, which would change the entire urban space around it into a diplomatic sector for the capital of Israel. Roughly 700 construction workers are expected to begin working soon, and the project is meant to be built by 2026. Wow. Okay. I remember, it's pretty amazing how I love the story that Trump tells between himself and the former U.S. ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, where they're talking about building an embassy in Jerusalem, and he's talking to Dave. He's like, David, man, they're telling me this is going to be like $4 billion to build an embassy in Jerusalem. And Friedman's like, $4 billion? I can do it for like $400 million. And he's like, okay, do that. It was just very, it was a very quick and efficient response to bloated government. But so that'll be interesting to follow. Okay, so this whole thing in Myanmar, you know, we're not there. We're not privy to the if there actually was election fraud or if the military simply did not like who won. But just a recap, this is from the BBC. Okay, what happened in Myanmar? Aung San Suu Kyi and her government were overthrown in an army coup on February 1 following a landslide NLD win in November's elections. So the NLD party had a big win, and the government says, there was election fraud. We are stopping this from happening. And I know that many, many people were hoping that something similar would happen after the steal of the century of this past election, and did not. However, who knows? But I did wanted to at least give some kind of update. This is from the BBC today, February 16th. Army promises new elections amid protests. Army spokesman Brigadier General Za Min Tun once again claimed that the military took control after alleged voter fraud, but did not provide any evidence. Now, remember, just because the media says it's fake and there was no evidence does not mean it was fake and there was no evidence. I would refer you to the 2020 election in the United States of America. And again, I'm not defending this whatsoever. I'm just saying, I don't know. I have no idea if this is legit or not. It may be, it may not be. I don't have a particular, you know, I don't have anything to prove in this respect. He also said a second criminal charge has been filed against the detained opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi. Now, I should clarify that, I mean, I am very skeptical of coups. I am very skeptical of military takeovers. They don't excite me whatsoever. Was it justified here? I don't know. But I'm just saying it's isn't like, oh, cool, the military takeover. Never. If I heard that was happening in China, if I heard it was happening in Iran or a number of places, I'd be like, oh, okay, this is probably a good thing. It may or may not be here. Mass protests have been taking place since the military coup on February 1st. The military has heightened its presence on the streets and deployed armored vehicles in several cities in recent days and further signs of potential crackdown on opposition demonstrations. In the military's first news conference since toppling the government, spokesman Za Min Tun said that the armed forces would not remain in power for long and promised to, quote, hand power back to the winning party following a planned election. He did not provide a date for the vote. So, we shall see. We shall see what happens there. That is a developing story. Good opportunity. Pray for Myanmar and what's going on there. God works through all of the craziness of the nations. He does, including our own. Speaking of Iran, Twitter erupts in support over interview with former Iran Prince Reza Pahlavi. This is from the Foreign Desk. I really like that site, by the way, foreigndesknews.com. Lisa Fardy does great work there. Twitter users are responding en masse to an exclusive interview by Israel Hayom with former Iranian Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi Sunday, who expressed his belief that reentering the JCPOA, that the Iran nuclear deal, would falsely rely on the behavioral change of the regime, which he believes will soon fall apart. There is a, quote, misconception that the Iranian regime will change its behavior, which mistakenly makes the JCPOA looks like a viable path to peace. However, quote, the Iranians know that the regime is not led by its national interests, but by its corrupt and criminal interests, said Pahlavi to Israel Hayom. I recommend you reading the rest of this article, but that's very true. We know what the Iranian regime is. We know that they do not offer their people freedom. We know that they have been just an incredible detriment to them in every way, whether it's human rights, whether it's economics, whether it's just basic support of taking care of their people. They're an absolute nightmare. And most of the country does not want them there. And we really had an opportunity to see regime change there before Obama threw them a $150 billion lifeline and billions of dollars in untraceable cash that then they could then use to take and fund the terrorization of the Levant and the rest of the world, right? I mean, that's the situation. And so Trump comes in and he's doing his maximum pressure campaign. We're getting close to see. I mean, the regime is just getting hurt. And now here is the Biden regime to step in and help them out. Reza Pahlavi is very popular in Iran. The Twitter users that commented on this interview very much in favor of him. Look, they want the Shah back. The Shah was kicked out. His son is here and alive and viable and would be a great fit for the people of Iran and would turn Iran instantly into an incredible ally of Western liberal values, freedom. And I don't know that the Biden regime would want that, because you have to believe in basic liberal democratic values. And I don't know that that's where the Democrat Party is going. I wanted to mention this story pretty quickly. This is from the National Pulse, and it's to be careful who you interact with online, especially when the CCP has just turned into this ubiquitous blob that seems to be just seeping anywhere and everywhere it can extend its tentacles into. Chinese Communist Party is using platforms such as LinkedIn to gather state secrets from Westerners. Oh, isn't that interesting? Quote, spies are creating fake business profiles on the professional networking site so that they can identify targets and obtain classified information. Sources warn that they have offered lucrative business opportunities and enticing sums of money to lure present and former government and private sector workers with access to classified information or commercially sensitive technology, the Times summarizes. So this story highlights the experience of this guy, Philip Ingram, 56 years old, former colonel specializing in cyber intelligence work and chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear weapons, okay? So, you know, you and I, the CCP, I don't know, you know, maybe you're a nuclear physicist of some type and you're listening to this show. Of course, my listeners are the smartest people in the world. Of course, that's what every host says of their listeners. But in my case, it's true. So, you know, unless you're a nuclear physicist, the CCP is probably not coming after you. But I just found this interesting. It's good to be aware of what our enemies are doing. And the CCP, they are our enemies. Remember, the CCP and the Chinese people are two different entities. The CCP and the Chinese culture and their historical heritage are two different things. And I'm not trying to be politically correct here. I'm just trying to be correct. And that is the truth. The CCP took over with Chairman Mao in 49. This wasn't, you know, they weren't elected into place. So, no, this is, you make that distinction between the Chinese people and the CCP, because that's the reality. I think if most Chinese people could speak freely, they do not want the CCP over them. But Ingram said, quote, "There was nothing on his profile that suggested which company he worked for, just generics. That seemed odd." As the conversation continued, Robin's request became more concerning. He said that, quote, "We would want to get inside information that isn't easily acceptable to anyone." When Ingram pushed for more detail, Robin said, "You can guess the sort of stuff I'm after." Ingram had already guessed that the profile had been faked by a Chinese intelligence officer before Robin said that Ingram would be required to travel to China to present his report. "I said I'd rather meet in London, but he refused," Ingram said. His suspicions were confirmed when Robin suggested that they switch to an encrypted email service that could not be accessed inside China except by intelligence services. Robin emailed him on it within 10 minutes. "At that stage, I was 99.99% sure it was someone linked to the Chinese government," Ingram said. It was classic recruitment. "If I'd decided to go to China, they'd have sent me back to get other bits and pieces. They'd have effectively recruited an agent. If I went and I wasn't cooperative, or they weren't certain I was in their back pocket, they would have engineered activities to gather compromising material for blackmail." That's pretty chilling. You know, be careful who you interact with and do deals with, especially do deals with or agree to meet somewhere online. You know, even if you're certain that the individual is legit, or let's say you're 99.99% certain he's legit rather than illegit, meeting at a common area in a common place is always a good idea. Specifically in a country with basic human rights would be my suggestion. All right, last story before we get to the Frederick Douglass quote that I absolutely love. And, you know, maybe next week there's this Abe Lincoln quote where he just destroys slavery. And look, we all agree like slavery is terrible, but Abe Lincoln does it in such a logical A to B to C. It was really fascinating to read this. I think I will share that next week if I don't forget. So, you know, remind me, send me an email, world@cgmradio.com, so I don't forget to do that. Well, Winston, just make a note. I know, but I'm in the middle of a show. I can't make a note right now. Okay, latest plans to criminalize hate speech in homes. This is in Scotland. Hey, good old Scotland. Why are we criminalizing hate speech in homes? You got to be telling me. I don't know. What would William Wallace think about criminalizing hate speech in homes? But I don't think they particularly care. And as I mentioned, I talked about this on the Bob Siegel show. Listen to that. Dropped yesterday. Still extremely relevant. A plan in England and Wales to criminalize hate speech in private homes regarding issues such as same-sex marriage and transgenderism has been dropped by Law Commission of the United Kingdom. But the plan is still pending in neighboring Scotland. And the article goes on to say, this from WorldNet Daily, goes on to say that it is looking like it's most likely to pass. This is insane. How do you even enforce this? Well, I'll tell you how you enforce it. You enforce it the way that the Nazis and the Soviets and every totalitarian regime around the world would want you to enforce it. Snitch on your family. Snitch on your neighbors. Snitch on your friends. Right? Of course, there's a much bigger Big Brother aspect to it with what they could do through listening in on our phones. I haven't read anything about that, but I'm sure they're looking at technology for that. But so that's how. But you got to look at who are the players, who are the people that are promoting this. Well, one guy that caught my attention, Humza Harun Yousaf. He is the Cabinet Secretary for Justice. Isn't that ironic? This guy is the Cabinet Secretary for Justice. And he wants to criminalize, quote, hate speech in private homes. And oh, and by the way, this guy is directly linked to an organization called Islamic Relief Worldwide. And oh, and who is Islamic Relief Worldwide connected to? All of our favorite terrorist groups around the world. Children, Al-Qaeda. They've actually received bank deposits from Al-Qaeda bank accounts. They've received donations from Al-Qaeda bank accounts. They're linked to Hamas. They're linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. And this guy, I mean, he was their spokesman for 12 years, and he has been volunteering with them since he was 10. This is no Western Muslim moderate. This guy is literally linked and a part of, and has been a part of a group for a long time, linked to terrorist groups. So that's on one side. On the other side, who is also just all giddy and excited about this? Atheist Scotland told the UK's The Courier that atheists see merit. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? There's merit in this. You know, of course, the whole universe is just one big cosmic accident. All we are just a highly sophisticated accumulation of cells and matter. But there's merit. We can somehow, by some objective standard, judge that there's merit into this. Yeah, no, sorry, you don't even have, you have no, your materialism, atheism has no basis for human rights. It has no basis for right and wrong, no basis for morality. And you're going to sit here and judge this as like good and right and righteous? Are you getting your standards? This is spiritual blindness and hatred to the core. But wait, there's more. He said, it will enable the prosecution of all Scotland's religions and their holy books for spreading hatred. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I mean, this is great. We've wanted to get those Christians for a long time, and here we finally have an opportunity. Hey, thanks, Islamic terrorists that we're partnering with. Yay, this is great. Quote, we fully intend to monitor all holy books, sermons and places of worship, and the social media accounts of the various religions and report any hatred to Police Scotland for criminal investigation, Stewart said. I'm so great, these materialists with no basis for right and wrong, absolutely zero basis whatsoever for being able to determine, for having any kind of universal, external, and objective standard of morality, are the ones that are sitting back in judgment to report to Police Scotland anything that classifies as, quote, hatred. And what classifies as hatred to them? Anything they don't like. Look, let me make this very clear. I think this should solve the issue. And this isn't because I'm brilliant. It's because I'm a basic thinking person. If a guy's cheating on his wife and I say, you know what? That behavior is wrong. That behavior is evil. Look what he's doing to his wife. It's terrible. God's word says not to do that. Look, he's doing that. Does that mean I hate that guy? Does it mean that I hate him because I judge his behavior is wrong? Well, let's make it a little more clear. Let's go back to the Billy Bush tapes. If I say, you know what Donald Trump did was wrong. I mean, that was really bad. That was really bad, right? That was wrong. Does that mean I hate Donald Trump? No, I don't, actually. And I'm voted for Donald Trump, and I would vote for him again. Sadly, that was very bad behavior. But if we're not going to vote for politicians based off of bad behavior, well, you know, and we're going to have any type of consistent standard or worldview, you know, You can't blame me for voting for Donald Trump, but I digress. Saying, for example, that engaging in homosexual behavior in the same way doesn't mean that you hate the person. It just means you believe that behavior is immoral. Or if you think that, okay, if the woman's 23rd chromosome is XX and the man's 23rd chromosome is XY, and then you say that's a male and that's a female, regardless of maybe what their brain may think, but you classify based off of science that one is a male and one is a female. I mean, and I'm just talking about chromosomes. There are, of course, much more obvious features that would indicate which gender they belong to. That doesn't mean you hate them if you disagree with them about what their gender is. And that ultimately comes back to this whole idea of hate speech. One of the big problems is that it shouldn't have even gotten. Why are there hate speech laws in UK and in Wales and in Scotland in the first place, even outside of the home? Right? Hate speech laws are simply what whoever is in power gets to basically make illegal any speech that they don't like. And you just call it hate speech. Well, none of us really like hate speech. I mean, maybe there are some, I'm sure, that love hate speech, but I don't like hate speech at all. But that doesn't mean that it needs to be illegal for someone to say something that makes me uncomfortable. Freedom has consequences. I have the right to drive a car, and I can use that right to go get food for my children from the grocery store, and I can use that right to go run over my neighbor. Like, freedom has consequences, and we as a society have chosen we would rather be free and face the consequences than live in a totalitarian state. And that's a big problem of what we're seeing with COVID right now, right? All these lockdowns and the mandated masking and all that, and we've said to ourselves, many of us have said we would rather be free than be locked in our homes the rest of our lives or have to wear masks the rest of our lives, which is, if you follow their logic, we would have to do. If me not wearing a mask means someone could die, well, that very same logic is also true during the flu season. Specifically, some flu seasons, they've reported over 100,000 people dead. That's a lot of people. Just wear a mask. Just wear a mask. By the logic of where they're going, and if you're not loving your neighbor by not wearing a mask, then you are forever required to wear a mask. Because that same logic can be applied to what are supposedly lesser diseases as well. You say, well, just during the pandemic, you don't love your neighbor for not wearing a mask. Well, wait a minute. At what point when, 500,000 people die from something, from a pandemic, then it is loving not loving your neighbor to not wear a mask? But if, only 100,000 people die, then you can not wear a mask and still love your neighbor? Where are we getting these standards from? And we as a society have to ask ourselves, what are we willing? Last week, I quoted from Patrick Henry's famous sermon, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death. And I remember Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick came out and very bravely after this started and said, look, I'm willing to take the risk. I would rather live my life and get COVID and die than stay locked in my home. And look, other people might choose to stay locked in their home. Other people might choose to wear 5 masks on their face. And if that makes them feel better and it makes them feel like they can go into society, hey, go for it. I don't have a problem with anybody wearing a mask. But I do have a problem when there is this fake morality that's put on the whole society saying if you go out without wearing a mask, you're a murderer. It's disgusting and it's sick. And we as a society need to reject it. All right, we're hitting an hour, so I want to get to this Frederick Douglass quote pretty quick, but pray for what's going on in Scotland. I mean, it's incredible It's incredible that in the land of William Wallace, we're seeing this kind of stuff. And again, it's the marriage, and we see it all over the world. It's the marriage of the Islamists and the atheists. But let me tell you something. Any atheists that think that getting rid of the Christians and Jews, and it's just the Islamists and the atheists left, you think the atheists are going to last very long? No. They'll get rid of you too. You're a useful infidel to them. Stalin had his useful idiots. The Islamists have their useful infidels. They will dispose of you. The Christians, the Jews, and other tolerant religious folks aren't going to get rid of you. They believe that you have the right to speak your mind freely, even against their beliefs. Okay, so let's destroy pretty quickly here this idea that Frederick Douglass was against the Constitution. Frederick Douglass was actually a slave. He was born a slave. He, and I forget exactly how he was able to become free, and he was a, you know, he was obviously a very gifted person. He began speaking and writing and became a strong voice for abolition. But he was very much against the Constitution of the United States. And that all because he considered that the U.S., he was anti the U.S., he was anti the Constitution, he anti the Founding Fathers. Sound familiar? But when he began to get into the publication business and he began to educate himself more and he began to read more deeply into the Constitution and into the founders, this is what ended up happening. Now, this is from the Heritage Foundation. This is Frederick Douglass's America, Race, Justice, and the Promise of the Founding. I'll link to this up at cgm.news if you'd like to read it. This is a peer-reviewed scholarly journal. It's about 20 pages, so it's pretty in-depth, but it's a fantastic read. In truth, Douglass had long admired the Declaration and the Revolution, but now, having broken with the Garrisonian variant of abolitionism, the Garrisonian variant being a complete rejection of the Constitution, he had come to admire the whole of the founding. That's remarkable. Frederick Douglass had come to admire the whole of the founding because he had come to judge the Constitution to be faithful to the saving principles of the Declaration. The charge of a pro-slavery Constitution was, quote, a slander upon the memory of the framers, he contended, quote, interpreted as it ought to be interpreted, the Constitution is a glorious liberty document. So that's from Frederick Douglass, not Thomas Jefferson. The Constitution is a glorious liberty document. Consider, quote, the Constitution according to its plain reading, and I defy the presentation of a single pro-slavery cause in it. On the other hand, it will be found to contain principles and purposes entirely hostile to the existence of slavery. If you go and read this article, this is on page 7. And on page 8, it says this. The seemingly contrarian hopefulness was no mere exercise in morale boosting. He was very hopeful that slavery would be overturned. Douglass found solid reasons for believing what he repeatedly affirmed throughout the decade, as in his Dred Scott speech. Quote, I base my sense of the certain overthrow of slavery in part upon the nature of the American government, the Constitution, the tendencies of the age, and the character of the American people. I know of no soil better adapted to the growth of reform than American soil. I know of no country where the conditions for effecting great changes in the settled order of things, for the development of rights of liberty and humanity, are more favorable than here in these United States. The Constitution, as well as the Declaration of Independence and the sentiments of the founders of the Republic, give us a platform broad enough and strong enough to support the most comprehensive plans for the freedom and elevation of all the people of this country, without regard to color, class, or climb. Now that is simply remarkable. coming from Frederick Douglass, who essentially believed that slavery was over. It was about to be in the dustbin of history. Why? Because we were going to overthrow the Constitution, because we were going to overthrow the American government, because we were going to indoctrinate all the kids that the founding was evil and racist and by a bunch of white supremacist slaveholders? No, it was because of the Constitution of the United States. And it does make you wonder now, why would they want to destroy in D.C., the monument of the freed slave, I forget the exact name of the monument. It's not on the top of my head right now, but of Lincoln, a statue of Lincoln freeing a slave, that Frederick Douglass himself spoke at its commencement. Now, there was a letter that was uncovered recently, apparently, where Frederick Douglass wasn't real happy completely about it, but about the complete way that it was done, he would have rather a statue, like a statue of a man standing next to Lincoln. But still, he did speak at it. He didn't reject it, and it's not a wonder. Like if the more you know about Frederick Douglass and how he felt about America and its founding, that they would actually want to reject even Frederick Douglass, because right now Frederick Douglass would be a conservative. Frederick Douglass would be a Trump supporter based off of his views of the Constitution. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He would be on the right. Just like I even think very well Martin Luther, if we take Martin Luther King Jr. at his words, I think he would as well. But if anyone says that Frederick Douglass was anti-constitutional, his own words contradict that. All right, guys, that'll do it for today's episode of World News Brief. Make sure to subscribe to the show if you have not already. cgmradio.com/world. Email me, world@cgmradio.com. And of course, make sure to check out all of these articles are posted online at cgm.news. God bless. We'll see you next week.